Hello, everyone. This is us talking about the Nintendo Switch 2. I'm with Rice and Dark. Why don't you guys all say hi?
Oh, what up? I'm Rice.
Hi. I'm Dark.
Hello, everyone.
What was that?
So,
yeah, you gotta get a special intro, you know?
Yeah, the intro.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I like it what you mean when you said special intro.
Exactly. Okay, so, you know, just curious on what you guys think. What do you guys think about the Switch 2? And it's coming out with all these new games. What do you think about that?
I think it's pretty bad, actually.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a downfall of Nintendo.
Why do you guys say
well,
that?
I think it's too expensive. I think it's a huge mistake, especially for Nintendo, not to be affordable for people. You know, it's like the parents' console, you know? Like, baby's first console. The parents get it because it's cheap.
Interesting. But what if that makes it good? What if that makes it better?
With the recent spec leaks, it's not top of the line specs. Like, in reality, people are saying Steam Deck has better specs than Switch 2, which is really concerning, considering Steam Deck's been out for a while.
Oh, I see.
Well, what do you think, Piano? Yeah, I get you into this. What do you think?
What are your thoughts?
Well, you see, I'm not a fan of the Switch 2 because of the games. I don't think the games are actually that interesting. I'm not a fan of Donkey Kong. Sorry to all the Donkey Kong fans out there. But I don't really play too much Donkey Kong, so it didn't really interest me that much. I'm more interested a lot in the exclusives and the new games that the console has to offer. And it didn't really seem like there was that much, you know? In terms of revolutionary games, let's say in the Switch 1, you have Smash Brothers, you have Breath of the Wild, you have Mario Kart. Those are revolutionary games, you know, in the time.
But to make another point, yes, you don't have revolutionary games yet, but we gotta understand this is just coming out, right? Remember when Switch first came out? The only known game was Breath of the Wild.
That's cap, bro.
Mario Kart did not come out till later. Smash didn't come out till like November.
No. The launch games of Switch 1 were Mario Odyssey. Breath of the Wild. And Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, no?
Mario Kart 8 was not out.
Was it not out? The Wii U.
Yeah, that's Mario Kart 8 original.
Oh.
Deluxe didn't come out till a while.
Oh.
I think it came out
No, I remember I did not play it until senior year of my high school.
Actually, yeah, you are right. In fact, Mario Odyssey is not day one, but it has to be year one, though.
Yeah.
Very interesting. So.
Yeah.
To my
but also, I have to comment on one thing.
Yeah.
Can we be honest? Nobody cares about Donkey Kong. I don't get why people were so hyped.
Oh, yeah? Explain.
Well, okay, for example. DK64, which is probably the most played Donkey Kong, aside from the original arcade game, right? That game fucking sucks. You know?
Oh, the one with him throwing the barrel down the thing? That one?
Yeah.
The one with the DK rap, you know? That game is actually just trash. And, yo, a lot of Donkey Kong fans love to point at, there's Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze. Yes, Funky Kong. You know, nobody played Tropical Freeze. Only the big Nintendo fanboys that bought the Wii U day one, bought Tropical Freeze.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't think Donkey Kong.
I forgot is that game existed.
Yeah, no, yeah, I don't think Donkey Kong is a
serious IP.
Yeah.
Okay, Danny?
I was gonna say, like, I own that game too. I only played like 4 hours on it because it didn't seem like a interesting game for me. You know, kind of just felt like your average sort of platformer. I understand that it has like really good level design, all that those things, but you know, I'm not too much big of a platformer myself. So, dare I say, I'm not as excited for the new Donkey Kong because I wasn't really interested in the other Donkey Kong games.
Yeah. But Donkey Kong game has been pretty old, right? I feel like the fan base is pretty small.
It has to be small.
Right. But I think the only reason why people are really hyped about it is the design of Donkey Kong. Mm. They brought back, like, the original design.
What original design?
Like, no, they remade Donkey Kong design in, like, Tropical Freeze. And then they brought back, like, the OG design. Like the N64 version or something, I don't know.
I feel like Donkey Kong's, like, what did they change? His hair is, like, more fluffy?
No, his face.
His face?
If you look at his face, it's different.
Oh, is it about Donkey Kong's grandfather? Is that why that his face is different?
No. It was just his original design is, like, it just looked different.
Oh.
Like, look at the picture right now. It just looks different.
Also, by the way, I'm looking at the year one, first and second party games for Switch 1. This is a wild lineup. So you have Breath of the Wild.
Oh, wait, Xenoblade 2, right? I think that was day
Mario Kart 8, yes. ARMS, Splatoon 2.
Oh, I forgot about ARMS.
Mario Odyssey.
1-2 Switch?
Well, nobody cares about 1-2 Switch.
It was still got released.
Xenoblade 2.
Good game, by the way.
Bayonetta 1 and 2. Yeah, this shit's fire.
Yeah, but that's year 1, though. We don't know what Switch 2 is going to release.
We know a lot of year 1 for Switch 2. Like, most of the stuff they announced that was not Mario Kart or, is Donkey Kong coming this year?
I think so.
Well, okay, so aside from those two, I'm pretty sure most of them are 2026 releases.
Yeah, the Kirby Racing one.
Kirby Air Ride.
Yeah.
Yes. I am looking forward to that.
Oh, wait, Metro Prime, right? 4?
Yeah, yes. That's
also that one. I hope that one turns out good because that thing's been delayed for ages.
Well, they restart. Well, they start from scratch.
Like, yeah, but they keep on pushing back the release date. I think they're preparing for Switch 2 release. That's probably why.
Probably.
Yeah. And the graphic looks good, so.
It looks awesome, honestly. But what do you think, Piano? You have anything to add?
Well, you see, the games that you can play are just there, right? They're not really adding anything new to the gaming atmosphere. But that one time when the PS4 controller came out and they had the touchpad on the front, right?
When that glows up?
Yes, the one that glows up, they have the touch pad, and you could touch the pad, and then it could do things to it, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It was a new invention, right? So when you have something new, it adds to the gamer experience, right? The Switch 2 does not add to the gaming experience, right? I think the only thing they did is make the Joy-Cons not suck.
And this screen's bigger.
The Joy-Cons are gonna suck.
So what you're saying, Piano, is that you think It should be called a Switch 1.5.
I think it should be called Switch 1.001. I think that's what
it should be. Dang.
I think it should be called. Yeah. It's like when you're adding like a new release and you do like 1.1, right? That means like it's kind of like a sub release. It's not really adding anything new to what the Switch didn't have before. So they do have voice chat. So voice if you want to like talk trash to people online, that's great. But I mean, when I'm looking at something new, when I'm looking at a new console, I'm looking for like hardware updates. I'm looking for things that haven't been done on other consoles, you know? But when they were releasing just the trailer, it just didn't feel kind of lackluster. I didn't really feel any different hardware improvements or anything like that.
Okay, so Piano, I have a good question for you.
Yeah.
And this is more of a general question. When it comes to new consoles, what's more important? The new hardware or the new software? As in the new games. Which one's more important? I think it should be the games, probably, right? Especially for Nintendo.
I guess that was my first point. So the games matter definitely more. But in terms of making a new console, why would I buy a new console if all it has is just new games? And it doesn't even have a lot of new games either, right? Like the only thing we see is Rhythm Heaven and Donkey Kong. And we could probably assume that another Smash or Mario Kart could be made. Or yeah, another Mario Kart is being made, I think. But I'm just thinking for my sake, I'm thinking like, well, the only reason why you would buy a new console is because they force you to buy a new console to play the new games. But buying the new console in and of itself is not better or more special. You know? At least PS5, they pretend like the new console is better, right? So they say like, oh, the PS5 has better processing power or whatever, even though like, you know, it's not really noticeable compared to PS4, but at least they like say that. Right?
Uh-huh.
Yes.
So I guess what I'm saying is I'm a little disappointed. A little disappointed in Nintendo, you know, like when they came out the Switch with the console and it's a console and it's a handheld, that was like a revolutionary idea, you know? And like no wonder like it's like one of the most top-selling consoles of all time. But it feels like they can't really top that in terms of innovation, in terms of the change in innovation that happened when that one was released. So they're just trying to ride that wave with the Switch 2, right? They're calling it the Switch 2, as in
it's let me piggyback off that, because I think there's a lot of context that needs to be made, right? So, the console before Switch, Wii U is the most financially ruining console of the Nintendo mainline consoles.
Yeah, it was the lowest selling one, right?
Yes, it almost sunk the company if it weren't for the fact that Nintendo has the most money liquid money out of all the Japanese companies in Japan.
Wow.
Yeah, it's wild. But the reason why Wii U failed is two major faults, okay? As far as we can see. Number one, its name. Wii U. So, a lot of parents and casuals did not know that Wii U was a new console. Personally, I did not know it was a new console when it launched.
I thought it was just an additional accessory to the Wii.
That's why it's so problematic. Nobody knew it was a new console. So that's why it flopped. A lot of people thought it was just like the Wii fitness board or like the Wii driving wheel. They thought it was an accessory, but no, it was a bona fide console, and the name kind of ruined them because it made it really hard to explain to the casuals that it was a new console. And even if the casuals understood it was a new console, they had a hard time trying to understand why they would want to play it over the Wii. Because the Wii, it also was a very revolutionary console. A lot of people to this day still play Wii Sports or Wii Resort. So that's one. Number two, Wii U failed because of its portability. The Wii U board makes you think that you could hold it anywhere across your house to play it, like a Switch would. But its range is actually very small. If you were to go from your living room to your kitchen, you'd probably disconnect your Wii U remote. And it's because of those two things they really had to dig into Switch. Because Switch made it so people could actually use their console on the go as they thought they could with Wii U. And also, they made it clear it wasn't the same as the Wii, it was a new console. So Switch 2 is trying to do the same thing. It's trying to make sure people know it's a different console, hence the 2. And they're trying to show we've made some changes, but it is a different console. So what do you guys think?
I think you got through all the points.
Yeah. That's a good
I
point.
mean, when you add the letter U for a new console, you don't really give out that impression. Like, what was the point of Wii U anyway? Is it supposed to, like, you can go back to, like, handheld gaming? Like, what was. Like, I
Well,
don't know what Nintendo was thinking when they created Wii U.
they were trying to piggy off the Wii brand.
By making it portable?
Well,
Well, it's
the
not
thing
really
is, Wii U
portable.
is not portable.
Because the only thing I really remember Wii U was good for is like for like touch style like gaming. Like I know when Super Mario Wii U came out, like someone can be like using the touch screen to like help with the gameplay. That's like the only known use for Wii U I've seen.
Yeah.
Other than that, there's really nothing. It's just another controller that's just heavier.
Yeah. It's
Yeah.
basically a glorified controller.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it gives a false impression that it's a portable console. It's not portable. It's can't even run games on its own. It's just a controller.
Yeah, it has to be connected to the Wii U,
Yeah.
the controller. And you can't even have multiple of that big controller. You have to have only one, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even know. Wii U was just a mess in like them trying to explain what it was. If it weren't
Yeah.
for Mario Maker and
Right.
Smash 4, Wii U would be an absolute dud.
Yeah. Yeah, that is, yeah. I can see they haven't learned from their mistakes with their Wii Switch 2.
I think they're trying.
I guess like if you want to argue from like a more technical standpoint, Switch 2 does have a new feature that Switch 1 doesn't have, which is like the sort of the Discord implementation into the Switch 2.
What did you say? Said.
The like the voice chat.
Oh,
That's technically like
yes.
the new feature
Yes.
that like yeah, but even then like the demonstration it's really bad. Like you gotta pay $60 for like a webcam quality camera when you could probably just go to Walmart, buy like a $20 Logitech webcam that looks way better and probably is compatible. And there's Discord.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very confusing.
Yeah. And plus, the voice chat can't be activated unless you pay to use your internet service, which is even more of a scam.
Oh.
Discord, you pretty much pay for your own internet, you don't have to pay extra charges, and you get to stream. Well, provided you buy the capture card, which is like pretty cheap too.
Well,
Yeah.
did they
I'll
say
continue.
that the Nintendo Switch Online for Switch 2 is going to be the same price as Nintendo Switch
I believe
1?
they did.
Yeah.
I think they did.
Same price?
Yeah, the
Yeah.
fact that they're not m removing the online service is already a big no-no.
Oh.
Honestly, I think a real problem Nintendo is going to have going forward is its Switch Online subscription model. Because frankly, I don't think you could justify its price for what it provides. I think, there's going to be a lot of people like Rice where they just don't use their Switch enough. And the online features of Switch enough to warrant even getting a Switch Online membership. Yeah. Okay, so let's talk third parties
Sure.
for Switch
Yeah.
2. Do we think it's a possibility GTA 6 it's going to Switch Online. Well, not Switch Online, Switch 2.
To switch to. Oh, gosh.
Yes. That'd be a big ticket item for Nintendo to get.
Depends. Do we know if the processing on Switch 2 is comparable to the Steam Deck?
We'll have to see because they're releasing Elden Ring onto Switch 2, right?
They are.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think we gotta look at how it performs at Elden Ring. If it performs probably like terrible, then it probably won't do well with GTA 6.
Yeah, and Elden Ring probably, or GTA 6 is probably going to have even more power than Elden Ring. You know? So, I just, you know, you're going to need a lot. You're going to need a lot of hopes for the Switch 2 if you ever want to run GTA 6 on it.
Yeah. Also, like, the one thing I want to note is, like, Switch 1, the reason it was pretty cheap is because the software underclocks the GPU.
What does that
So
mean?
someone disassembled Switch 1 and was able to determine that the GPU they were using is actually not bad for when it was produced. And then they, like,
Okay.
activated to overclock it, and, like, they were able to get 4K resolution on Breath of the Wild and stuff. So Switch has the capability to do higher resolution, but that brings a problem of like the heat, right? Overheating and stuff.
Yeah.
I think that's why Switch 1 did not overclock the GPU or like the underclock it because of the heat issue. But it seems like in the new Switch 2, they might have resolved that, so hopefully we can see some performance improvement.
But I personally was actually a fan of the underclocking because I want to be certain that my Switch doesn't overheat.
Right. I mean, you want to play on the go, right? So that was the whole
Yeah,
point, right?
yeah, yeah,
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, also the overheating, that affects shelf life,
Yes.
specifically the battery. Like, you don't want your Switch, well, either Switch 1 or 2, to just run out of battery within 2 hours. That's terrible. It's a hassle, having to keep reconnecting it to the dock to recharge it.
Yeah.
If you prefer playing it portable, you'd like that more continuous gameplay experience. So I think underclocking is good if it helps maintain that shelf life and the durability of the battery.
Yeah. Well, see, the thing is, like, I have to switch one, and sometimes when I play Fire Emblem, like, on a console, like, after, like, maybe like 40 minutes of gameplay, it just starts heating up.
On console mode or portable mode?
Portable mode.
I think the only game that I've seen hold on. Sorry.
It's opening his Google Chrome. He wants to look at the facts.
No, I heard my dogs barking.
Oh. Yo, dinner? Well, it looks like while he's dealing with the dog. Piano.
Yeah.
What do you think Switch 2 is like? Price should be.
Switch 2 price. Well,
Yeah.
the Switch 1 costs $300. I
Right.
actually personally think it is worth more. So I would be content with the Switch 2 being five, like about $500 or $400.
Right, but right now it's 450.
450? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's it comes probably with the same materials that the Switch 1 did, right? With the automatic two Joy-Cons on the side, the
And
dock,
bigger screen, yeah, the
yeah,
dock. It should come with everything, the basic
and the
needs.
HDMI cable. I think they gave me an HDMI cable when I,
Yeah, and a power cable, yeah.
yeah,
Yeah.
and
Yep.
in my opinion, that's nice. You know, that's very nice. That's nice that they give you all of the cords, for that.
Yeah.
So I think I would be perfectly okay with paying the 450. The only reason why I'm sort of making a fuss about just like everything is just more of the fact that there's not really a lot of games that I can imagine myself playing, you know?
Right. So you just want to bid your time.
Yeah. And that's the sort of thing I'm more trying to say. Like, there's not really any new games that I'm like really looking forward to, maybe besides like Rhythm Heaven.
Oh yeah, I remember that,
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, that was a very good game. And I would consider like that would be one of the games that would more push me to consider buying it. But other than that, I can't really imagine spending the money for, you know, for Donkey Kong or something like that. So
Yeah.
I think when it yeah when it comes to Switch 2, and I'm also a little bit disappointed that they I think they're starting to move to digitize a lot of their games. So compared to back in the old days when you own a game and you get to play that game when you own the physical copy,
Oh,
a
yeah.
lot of yeah well when you buy a game now it just gives you access to a license to the game. And then you can download the game that you want with the license. So, essentially, owning a physical game and owning a digital game, there's no really difference. It's just that you're just buying something physically, and you have the pride of owning something physically, but you don't really own anything different compared to if you just bought it digitally. And I think that's very sad for Nintendo because I think like one of the things that Nintendo really is good at is just showing that you can collect all their stuff, you know, like when they have the amiibos out, that was pretty cool, right? And like you
Yeah.
can collect
I
it,
mean,
you
they're
can
still
collect.
coming out with Amiibos,
Oh
just.
yeah, but the
Yeah.
concept that I'm talking about is that you can collect things, and the point of a game is that you can collect it, you can game share, you can do all that stuff, and that's really nice. But with the transition to digitizing these games, and having the game only equal the key. Then what do you own? What do you own when you buy the game? They could totally just decide to cut your account off if you end up like doing something like modding your Switch. I'm not saying I'm gonna mod my Switch, but I'm just saying like it sucks that I don't have actual ownership of a game even if I buy the physical copy. You know,
Yeah, it just feels like I'm just subscribing like a rental now and like.
that's really sad. I mean, it's no different than Steam and it's like, well, if I wanted to get a game, I could just buy on Steam or just do something else. It's like, why would I,
Okay.
you know, why would I get the physical copy if all I get is the license?
Okay, allow me to play devil's advocate, okay?
Sure. Go ahead. Go ahead.
So, frankly, I see digitization as bad in only one sense. And that's if the refund policy is not good for a service. So, Nintendo, PlayStation, and probably Xbox. The moment that you start downloading a game, you can't refund that game. Even if you haven't even played the game, you can't refund it. So, meanwhile, a physical copy, of course, you could refund it if you haven't fully broken the seal, right? So, I think that that's the only main issue for me. Everything else, I think digitization could be a good thing. Because, number one, ease of access. Instead of having to walk up to your console and switch out the cartridge or disc each time, it's just there in your library, and you could just hover, boom, and you're to the next game. I think that ease of access is really nice. And it helps sometimes you just want to play different games during a certain setting, you know? Like, if I want to play Persona 5 Royale, and then all of a sudden I want to play Yakuza, I can if it's digital. If I switch to this, maybe I'm all like, maybe I just want to do something else. Maybe I don't even want to play the console anymore, you know? So it's like that ease of access and continuity of gameplay, you know?
Yeah, but that brings a lot of problems, storage issue.
Is storage issue really a problem in 2025?
Yeah, well, think about this. You're spending $80 to buy a game, and now you gotta spend an extra 40 or $50 just so it can digitally download it for an SD card. So
Okay,
basically, you're
so.
spending $120 just so you can play a game.
Okay, let me ask you. What kind of storage card, like in terms of gigabytes, do you think is valid to have for the Switch 2 or just any modern console?
At
Do you think
least one
256?
terabyte. At
One
least one
terabyte.
terabyte. Yeah.
I think
Think about
1 terabyte is actually
that.
excessive. I because you don't need to have all the games digitally. I'm not saying you have to. I'm just saying.
No. I think you don't understand. Physical is a license key, which still downloads to your Switch.
Well, I get that
There's no
part.
difference, so you're still downloading the game into the Switch too.
Yeah, but I'm trying to say your digitization is not all bad. You know?
But it's not all good.
It's not all good, but like, what can you do? I do like the ease of access.
Yeah,
I feel like a lot
I
of
like
people
it
like
too,
the ease
but
of access.
like you're also spending like more money so you can hoard more games. Like think about in the future, Elden Ring when it comes out, that's gonna be probably what, like 60 gigabytes just to like get it running.
Or you guys play AmoWell. AmoWell is like 20 MB.
Yeah, that game's trash.
But
Like this trash.
no, but the point that Rice is trying to say is the fact that if you wanted to have a lot of games on your Switch at the same time, it's hard. I mean, that's we've all just had the experience, if we PC game, the fact that you have limited space on your PC, and then it's always going to be an issue that you have to kind of choose which games you want to get rid of, which games you want to keep, and it's still the same issue that you have when you have a physical copy of the game, except instead of limited by physical space, you're limited by digital space. It doesn't matter even if there's more. I mean, I guess it is better that there's more. You can have more digital games compared to like physical that you can carry on you at the time, but the problem's still the same. And like, I was disappointed in the Switch 1 when they kind of forced me to buy a micro SD card in order to save a bunch of games, but
Yeah.
I had to do it because if I want to have more than like two games on my Switch at a time, like it's probably necessary to get that.
Yeah, and you never want to buy the Nintendo brand micro SD card. They jack up the prices for those, exactly. Man.
Exactly.
Wait, SanDisk, basically, right?
SanDisk.
Yeah.
So, but aren't we forgetting that memory cards have been a thing since forever? I remember having to buy memory cards for PlayStation 2.
That's memory card for a save. That's not memory card for storing the games themselves.
It's the same concept. You have to buy it, no? You're saying that there's a problem that you have to buy an additional accessory to have, you know, the storage capacity, right?
Right.
But well, PlayStation 2, you have to buy the for your save capacity.
That, it was like kind of my counterpoint to saying like digitizing is good because you can get all the games on, you know, downloaded. But that's what I'm saying. It also brings the issue that at some point your storage is going to run out and you're going to have to get more.
And no, but I'm saying this isn't a new issue. This has been an industry phenomenon for several generations.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Like, digital is good, but sometimes having a little bit of physical is not that bad either, because it saves you some space. And with the modern games, with how demanding the graphics is going to be, you're going to see an increase in storage space.
I agree with that.
So that's like my main point. Like, I'm not saying digitizing is bad at all. No, don't get me wrong. I love digitization. It's like so good. But like at some point, you're going to reach your limit, and then you have to go and invest more just to get more games.
Okay, I'll take your point, but also I'll say another point. Maybe we were also talking about how the physical copies are just licenses, right?
So yeah. It's digital version, yeah.
Yeah, but here's the problem. Legally, this has been the case also for years. It's just companies have been lying to us for years. It wasn't until last year that the state of California has required that companies inform us that we don't officially own our games. So it's more of, you know, our eyes were closed, and then, you know, but it's always been there, you know? It's not a new phenomenon with Switch 2.
Interesting.
It is not a new phenomenon. I ran into the same issue with Switch 1, too. And that's when I realized that like 256 gigabytes is not going to last long term. So like, if you want to digitize proof your Switch 2, then you're probably off getting like 1 terabyte, 2 terabyte. That's my like my take. And those like are at least like $30 to $40. Sure, it'll pay off in the end, but like it's still like a lot of money.
Okay, I have a big question. What do we think will be the games that come in the future for year 2 of Switch 2? Because year 1 looks like there's barely any games. But year 2 could redeem this console immediately if they play it well.
Fire Emblem.
Fire Emblem would be so freaking awesome. But I don't think gonna happen.
That's like my one reason that if I'll buy Switch 2 is Fire Emblem.
But honestly, it seems that they believe that Donkey Kong, Mario Kart, and then eventually I'm blanking. They believe certain games are more important. Well, certain IPs are more important than other IPs. Even though, for some reason, we still haven't heard about Mario or the Legend of Zelda IPs yet for Switch 2. Well, when are we going to start hearing about those games, you know? Those games are so integral to honestly every Switch, well, Switch, Nintendo console. You could have, this N64. There's Mario 64, an Ocarina of Time to lead the way, or Switch, Mario Odyssey, and Breath of the Wild. Where's Mario and Zelda for Switch 2?
That's true. I don't know. I feel like Zelda with Tears of the Wild conclusion, Tears of the Kingdom conclusion, I don't think they're going to do the storyline anymore.
Really?
Because there's been evidence that, like, it's been hinted at the whole Zelda timeline has been a loop. And Tears of the Kingdom ending proves it's a loop. So unless they want to, like, extend that loop, it's really unlikely they're going to produce more Zelda like games. Remakes probably most likely now.
Wait,
So that maybe like Ocarina of Time, stuff like that.
let me get this straight. You don't think there's gonna be another mainline Zelda game ever?
Not for a
That's not a
while.
remake. I think it's cap, bro. I think even if it ruins the lore, I think they'd still do it. It's just a matter of timing.
Well, yeah, maybe, but in the end, this is just all assumption. We're not fact-checking any of these stuff.
What I'm saying is, I think it's a bit concerning that we haven't heard anything about those two IPs. These are so important to whether the console succeeds or not.
You know what would be cool if they make Super Mario Galaxy 3. Love that
Exactly.
series.
That would be cool.
That is
Honestly, that
literally
would
one
be
of the
great.
best series ever. Yeah.
I look forward to
It's
that.
just, yeah. Because I think the gameplay mechanic they introduced was so unique when Wii came out. I just fell in love with it.
And then Monkey's Paw Curls. You get Mario Sunshine too. How do you feel about that, Rice?
I've never played Mario Sunshine.
Wait, really?
Well, I played like a little bit of it, but I never actually played a game. I didn't even play the N64 one.
You ever play Mario 64?
I didn't grow up with a video game. I'm poor as bitch, all right?
Unfortunate.
What was your first Nintendo console? Was that Wii then?
Wii, yeah.
Why? Wii's a great console to start out with, honestly.
Yeah,
Yeah,
but
Smash
it's not
Ball.
N64. My
Yeah,
family is poor, man.
it's not as classic.
Yeah, dude, you're being classist right now, man. I feel offended.
Yeah.
No, but you're good, bro. I told you, Donkey Kong 64 sucked. I hate Donkey Kong 64.
Yeah, what makes you hate about Donkey Kong? The color?
Imagine saying this on a podcast,
Right. Well, I think that signals around the end of our podcast. Thank you all
Wait,
for
before we
listening
end, we
to
gotta have one last topic.
Yeah, sure.
How do we feel about the inclusion of hentai games on Switch 2?
If I can get
Think about
another
it.
Dead or
I feel like
Alive. There is on the eShop.
No, I think if they're ecchi games. I think they're very explicit, but not hentai.
But Nintendo has always shown themselves to be a family first
Yes.
country company, right?
Yes.
I thought you
But
said cunt.
when are they gonna modernize and just accept everyone for who they are? They already have Elden Ring. They have some Grand Theft Autos. Why not hentai, guys? Think about it. Why can't they have Nekopara for Switch, huh? Because
Because,
they haven't broadened their minds yet.
yeah, exactly. Well, they haven't taken the Steam route. Steam accepts all games and
Yes.
recommends all games.
Well, Steam also had the filter for 18
Yes,
plus.
the Steam also has a filter for 18 plus. Yeah.
This is what I feel like. You know how they like verify 18 plus? Like, I get it was like to verify you're actually of age, but like, who's gonna like tell the truth?
Well, I mean, sometimes, like, you know, like if you have a like a parent who has who buys their kid a Switch, they can put a parent control on it. So then even if you so then you have to unlock the parent control first before disabling the 18 plus filter or enabling the 18 plus filter.
Yeah, but like it's all the same thing with like, you know, how Grand Theft Auto's were like 16 plus, right?
Yeah.
But if a parent buys it, they can just give it to their kids.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Right? It makes me wonder, like, I know there's these ratings, but like is it just more like integrity check, like your morale check to say, oh, this is like you should be of this age, but we're not gonna stop you if you don't.
Maybe.
Well,
Maybe.
I feel like ratings don't really matter anymore. It's just a matter of liability for companies. Because think about it. A lot of games that a lot of people have played are surprisingly M-rated. All the Persona games are M-rated, and yet, you know, I've seen 13-year-olds play that game, you know? Or I think even Final Fantasy 16 is M-rated.
Yeah.
It's
16?
yeah, the one with Clive,
Oh,
the
I
fire
haven't played that
guy.
one.
Yeah, the stuff is surprisingly M-rated, but kids still play it because, you know, it's parents are still gonna try to buy games for their kids, you know? Like, imagine for our generation, a lot of parents bought Call of Duty for us.
That is true. That's true.
Yeah.
My parents could not afford Call of Duty.
Well, you could have just did Call of Duty IRL.
I
So
don't think I have the confidence in the
thank you everybody for
aim
listening to our podcast.
to.
This has been great. On the next time on the E3E, I'll feed us in.